WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the fall season, and I appreciate all of the birthday well wishes from everybody out on Facebook. I swear I'm going to answer all 2,100 of you who do that to me every year. And I think like Sammy Hagar's birthday is the day before, and then Jim Palmer the day after. I'm figuring it's some, they must get inundated. But thank you very much. Big appreciation to our friends at the Maryland Lottery for sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We will be Nick's Clubhouse Grill and Timonium. And then we're moving on to some new places, new adventures in the coming weeks. We're taking it all the way around the Beltway. It all is sponsored by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. One of my favorite people is joining us here from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I'm drinking Rofo coffee now. You see the, and I'm so in the mood for chicken after the Haloti, not a commercial, in the middle of the game the other night. But Billy Cole is here from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. How are you, man? You and I have been like, well, last time we got together, the Ravens were 0-1 and things were terrible and they were going to lose to the Chiefs. It's taken you and me a month to get together, but it's good to see you, man. How you doing?
So good. After 0-1, you know, I vowed to never stay up through those games again. And I continue to be consistent about that and pissed off that I go to bed every time. But, you know, the one time I stay up, it won't
Now
I just go to bed.
You missed the game?
Oh, I DVR them, planning to watch them the next day and avoid all information. And that
Come on now. We can't begin the segment. I mean, I was going to go
it's
in a whole
way
different
it is.
Direction.
You it's know, the like, way it is. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, look, you fumble.
I'm an early sleeper, too.
You fumble on the 2-yard line and they put it in and it's 22-3. That's go to bedtime. That's go to bedtime. Yeah. You don't want me to go to bed? Don't play like crap for 3 You know, I mean, that's the way it's got
to
be.
Wow.
So.
Man, and I was going to talk to you about this. And, I
did eventually watch it. So, I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, I did the same thing on Detroit. So I'm not actually superstitious. I'm only superstitious when it matters, right? Is like now I'm going to go to bed every time because they come back and win when I go to sleep. So I'm just going to go to sleep. Might even go to sleep at 2:30 in the afternoon if it looks like it's not going the right way.
And can we do that in January, about third quarter?
Right.
Bill Cole is here. You know, we've talked enthusiasm for the team, and we've talked about old farts like you that fall asleep or old farts like me that, you know, stalk the press box because my back's out of whack, so out of whack I couldn't even get my computer to the press box. I was working off my phone and seeing young people in the stadium having fun for the first time. And look, I'm not here to geeze about the Colts, and I really do want to get into Gruden and leadership and just why you fall asleep and maybe at heart why it means less that you didn't get a nap in the way I did. And I will admit I did get a nap in on Monday because I was awake at 1:30 in the morning working, because it's what I do here at Baltimore Positive, if you've been paying attention. But the fact that there is now for Lamar has created this, right? Like they used to say Tony Gwynn got that stadium built in San Diego, right? Cal Ripken is, you know, what made Camden Yards while it was there in the beginning, and it's the reason to come. Lamar's giving people a reason to come and created these memories now, right? For you and me, it was Shannon Sharp in the Jacksonville game.
Sure.
You're nodding your head right now, right?
Sure.
Tell me everything about that day, right?
Well, the curious part is, they showed a clip during the game of like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like most wins before they were 25 or
right
fastest to 50 wins or, you know, something like that. And there are a ton of stats now where Lamar is in very prestigious company about how many victories, obviously the running and passing yardage numbers that no one has ever had and will ever have or whatever. But it still feels like it's unfulfilling. You know, I don't totally get that. It is fun to watch. I do generally have a belief that we probably didn't in the past with other guys, even Joe a little bit, you know what I mean? Like you just, once you were down, that
was kind
of
it. Well, he's starting to do Superman stuff. I mean, and I don't mean just juking on the field and breaking an ankle and running for 60 yards, which is incredible unto itself, right? I mean, a quarterback does that because Peyton Manning didn't do that. John Elway, you know, you know, all of them would have been caught by the 15th yard and had their rotator cuff, you know, brought to the ground and spiked down like Jim McMahon, right? That was that era. This thing, it you know, it always frightens me, especially when he plays dead for a second and Bradley Bozeman has to come over there and freak out, you know, make sure he's okay. But this era for me and what it's done for the community, and I –
Well, it's not
even. It's appropriate. I do Baltimore positive because I used to talk about this ish back in the 90s when we didn't have a team, then we got a team, how much it cost to have a team, what your civic responsibility was in having a PSL, what your my responsibility was about telling the truth about what was going on in the Orange Warehouse and what would happen if there was 30 years of that kind of ownership. And it's exactly worked out that way, especially I didn't see them getting their pockets lined as a business for free off you know, the nipple of a cable TV deal. But when it comes to the football team, what I'm seeing is this transition for the PSL owners to give up their whatever they do, and the tickets come down wherever they are. I, you know, I sold my tickets to Doug Butchke, Butchke the other night, who runs the Crab Cake Challenge. I had him on the show last month. I had a couple of tickets, sold him. He and his kid had a great time, and they would come again. And everybody that goes now wants to go back in the way that Ray Lewis. Now they have this wire whistle that I'll never. That's not a great brand for me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I live here, I'm trying to sell my condo. It's not a good brand.
Right. I think it's interesting whether you believe Baltimore is benefiting more from Lamar or the NFL is benefiting more from Lamar. Like, I don't know that the city does better when we have Sunday night and Monday night games. I don't know which one is actually economically better.
Oh, my God. I'll give you the answer to that. They sell less beer by a lot on night games.
Right.
The restaurants don't get any benefit to the, you know, because of the tailgating and people working, especially on Monday. Sunday is a little bit more of a, you know, the bars in Fed Hill might do better because people are there watching the 4 o'clock games. I would give you that, like on a Sunday, maybe, but I've investigated. I mean, now my investigation's 15 years. I knew more about it when people in the building liked me and told me the truth. Now it's, you know, it's its own iron curtain of information that Ravens.com is, you know, going to be the only, you know, once they put me out of business, it'll be the only thing that happens. But,
no, that fits the hypothesis, right? So, putting Lamar on TV on the primetime games is good for the NFL because people tune in to watch. It's not good for Baltimore. It's not good for the fans who have had season tickets since 1996. I can promise you that. All we've won are 1 o'clock games.
Well, you get one this week and you get one next week. And you know what you want to do to get one more old fart? You used to go to 2 o'clock games at a Memorial Stadium and, you know, glad to see Mike Pagel do it. Come on, man. You know,
when I was 25,
I'm not going to be the apologist for the Ravens anymore because I know how the sausage is made. And that scares the hell out of them because I do know how the sausage is made. And the sausage I care about is the community and the city and what it means. And to see it vibrant. To know they have this whistle thing that I don't agree with, I'm never going to agree with that because the city's reputation is involved in that, that they're using that now to get people in. It's a hockey rink now, Bill, right? I mean, you know what does television show what they do? And the television doesn't show what they do.
No.
Dude, they turn out the lights now and they do the wire whistle. It's pitch black, white lights come on, and it's a hockey rink. If you've been to a hockey game, you know what I mean. The lights swirl, the field swirls, logos go places. You know, my friends at the Maryland Lottery and, you know, the sponsors and like all of that happens. And then they have the Thunderdome thing that we used to make fun of the Blast. Remember we made fun of the Blast for having an exploding ball, right? Remember that? That was too kitsch, right? So then they try to bring Ray Lewis back to life in some way. And I'm telling you, dude. The whistle, dark, like all of that, it's going to become something that people want to get in there for, but you can't do that at a 1 o'clock game. Right? So, you know what I mean? You can't turn the lights out and like do all that.
Right.
So then they do flybys and do all that. You stick to sports stuff. And they're building a vibe there with these two wins. And I'm not convinced that it was the same people. Billy, I'm walking around. People are all wearing Lamar stuff. They're all way younger than me. It is much more people of color and youth and mixes of young people that maybe look a little bit more like we did in 1998, right. You know, and that's good for them. I don't know. It's the same investment. Right. You and your dad and me and my, we, you know, everybody I knew, we felt blessed to have the team. It's just a thing they do. It's a movie they go to. You know what I mean? A thing they gamble on. It's not listen to sports radio and be engaged in every injury report or it's not that crowd. It's crowds drinking right. out. It's the same people that go to the baseball game and don't watch the baseball game. They sit on the deck. You know what I mean? And drink beer. Yeah. Like literally, yeah. I watched it. I mean, you see the stands aren't full and it's not the chain gang, right? Right. I mean, so I'm saying there's no more chain gang. There's no more third down. They've killed all of, you know, that stuff and moved those chains. Doesn't exist anymore. So those things, the marching band, I don't know if they, you know, I tell John Zeman he should do Rush songs like the Ohio State band did last weekend, but it's a different experience, bro. And I just want to give that to you because you freaking fell asleep on it. So we really are in, you know, different places than I'm going to spend $500 on it, invest in it, be there all night in my 50s and into my 60s, where you've already said I can barely stay awake on it. I love them, but like they're not the most important thing in your life anymore. They need to be the most important thing in somebody's life, right? And I'm telling you, it's not the most important thing in these people's lives. I can tell. These aren't the people with purple flamingos in their basement and autographs. Right. I've known these people forever. I don't know where those people are, dead, on the farm, trumped out, kneed out, priced out, you moved out, you know, I upper decked out. I don't know. But they've changed what's going on. Which they need to do, and I'm all for it.
Sure. I don't think I can judge that decision. I mean, what you're talking about is creating a conduit to the next generation of fans, something that the other building has been unable to do effectively, right? So give them credit for playing the game. My only sense of the primetime games and what that means is that it is the NFL is working hard to create their brands independent of the towns that they participate in. Right. And that's the trips to London. That's the move from here to Vegas. That's the, you know,
they're not the Ravens of Baltimore. They're just the Ravens. And if you like purple and you liked Ray Lewis and you like the story behind the brand of wine we have, the Ravens brand. By the way, wise conversation. This is Bill Cole joining. Yeah, I mean, I love where you're taking that because I feel that. I feel it is Lamar's America's brand, not Baltimore's brand, because that's better in London than for him to love Baltimore too much in case he signs with Green Bay next.
And we really have no example to lean on to fully understand how invasive and change creating the gambling is going to be, right? I mean, it is, there is a commercial for one of the gambling sites every other commercial break.
Oh, I mean, baseball's been that way all year. If you could
say it is super invasive.
The pretty girl comes on and here she is.
It's happening through, you know, your device. You can sit in the stadium and gamble on the next play.
But it's like also been it's scrubbed in the way, I guess, liquor was after prohibition, in the way cannabis is now, where I can freely talk about it. You can freely talk about it. You can freely get a card. Everyone has at it. And it went from hush hush to out in the open and gambling now. Was something we didn't want in the state except for horse racing and lottery. And I talk to John Martin about this every week in sports gaming and mobile, and it's coming. And I'm doing my show at an OTB this week. And I'll be talking to Tommy from Knicks. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. So we're getting into this, but I don't know the comfort level of when you can bet on a pitch in left field on your phone at the game and how quickly that could translate in real time to like when the window goes down at the horse track, the only thing, you know, you hear the bell ring, right? I mean, right. You and I know what that sounds like. Young people might not even know what I'm talking about, but right. But the fact that's becoming the inducement to be involved, not, yeah. I love Baltimore and I love Baltimore right. so much, I'm going to beat your ass if you're a Steelers fan. It's more like, oh, you're with the Steelers brand and I'm with the Ravens brand. Let's have a beverage together. It's definitely less animosity in that way that I feel. I don't feel like there's as much trouble in the stands.
You got to watch the intro to the Monday night game. The whole intro video was Raven fans and Colt fans in an alley in Baltimore together. And the pitch was just love everybody because they used to be here and they are here now. And there's no reason to hate each other. It's all good.
That really riles up an old guy like you, right? I mean, you know, like Dennis and I went through this at length, you know, and I guess we're going to have some residue on my birthday about this too, when he's on from 3 and 5 at Coons Ford. But Dennis can't let it go. And I tweeted, I walked over and my back hurts to begin with. And by the time I got there and I flipped my tickets to Doug, I just saw him at the Johnny U statue and like, all right. So I go around the corner and I saw a Colts jersey and I just, just stopped me for a minute and it pissed me off again. And I don't want to feel it. It's like seeing my ex-girlfriend be really happy with her husband. Like I want to be happy. I am happy for her. You know what I mean? So I've been happy for Indianapolis, but man, the jersey.
The ironicness, because I know you want to transition here. So let me help.
Okay.
The ironicness is, the lead in to the game is all about inclusion and loving everyone. And let's go have this match against these two teams that used to be from Baltimore. And then the underlying story for the majority of the evening was John Gruden, right? So every break, everything. And then all of a sudden he resigns in the middle of the game and blah, blah, blah. So I know you wanted to hit on that, but
well, I wasn't watching TV. I went over to the game.
I watched
the second half. I watched the second half at home. My back hurt too. I left and came home and watched the game because I was in too much pain to like sit down, literally. So I have the unique experience of having walked a ton through fans and seeing things very slowly, being recognized by some people and completely anonymous to others, at least for the time being, until I say something stupid.
Which could happen at any moment.
I was in the press box with Luke pacing in the second quarter, and Luke said, dude, Gruden just resigned. I looked down, I tweeted about it, and I looked up waiting. I'm like, when is ESPN? Is ESPN going to do the old Masson, Jim Palmer, Mike Flanagan thing where Flanagan's dead and it takes him an hour and a half to sort of maybe mention it as though like the whole world doesn't know about it on Twitter? I mean, that's literally how Masson handled the Flanagan suit. Like it was like out everywhere. Jim Palmer's crying and they're not admitting it happened on TV because that's the sort of the mentality in the world that those people lived in. I was thinking, how long is Monday Night Football going to sit on the fact that their former host did this? And it took them, good 6, 8, 10 minutes. I mean, it was not Howard Cosell when Lennon got, right. I mean, they were trying to figure out, and then they went to Schefter and I looked up and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, everybody's had at it on Twitter for 15 minutes and, you know, now ESPN's going to have its spin. The whole thing's so shady, dude, right? Like from Goodell and the names he was called to the putting under the carpet of Daniel Snyder and Bruce Allen, like the NFL is just not for a grown up. They're not doing well with this and I'm not buying it. I'm not buying Roger Goodell and slippers and Kumbaya and only John Gruden says that stuff. We don't, you know, like, come on, man. I was born on a day it wasn't yesterday.
So the one thing you say is their host. My brother made a comment to me yesterday. He just thought it was the funniest thing that ESPN is reporting all of this and not mentioning the fact that he wasn't their employee, you know, when the initial emails that came out were written. Like ESPN, you know, they've got all their own set of problems and they can't seem to get anything right. You know, I think if you want to create the biggest business in the world, or whatever, however you want to describe the mass empire that the NFL is, you better have good people everywhere, because if you've got problems, that people are going to find them, because there are people who spend all their time looking for them. So if you're not committed to like having genuinely good people involved up and down for the sake of in order for us to continue to operate our empire, we have to continue to only have good people involved, knowing that that there's a trade-off, right? That, I mean, look, no greater example is how they treat the players, right? If you do something wrong, we could, depending on who you are and how much tread you have left on your tires and how much somebody might need someone at your position, we either totally excommunicate, blacklist them, right? Or we create human interest stories about how they're trying to fix all their problems and now they're the starting D tackle at the Carolina Panthers. You know, like they've shown you that this is how they're going to operate. So we shouldn't be surprised.
It's really kind of gross to some degree, because it feels disingenuous. And it feels, and listen, I'm not taking up for Gruden, but it's witch hunty, you know, to go after a guy when you've got 600,000 emails and like that. Okay, that's cool. But like, who is he communicating with? Who is he sending these emails to? And again, this is before he was in power. And I actually know some people that work for him through the league and called him a fraud, you know, like after working for a long period, you know, people that did well with him in various ways have said he was a fraud. And I've always been a big Gruden fan. You know what I mean?
Fraud in
but like, if you're
way.
Using that kind of language in 2016, 2012, whenever it is, it's in your heart and soul and it's who you are. It's baked into who you are. And the fact that those kinds of people are getting $100 million jobs, and like, I don't even want to go down the Gruden hole, because I think we can both agree that that guy can't lead your organization. You can't have someone at Cole Roofing throwing out F-bombs and N-bombs. And I don't mean F-bombs as in U-bombs. I mean, you know, absolute trope, awful, you know, hurtful, vengeful, hateful words that you can't erase from an email. I mean, to say it drunk after the 10th beer because you've got some deep-seated ish in your soul, that's dirty and, you know, that's troublesome. But right. I would say to have a $100 million leader of your organization, that just can't stand. And right. I get why they did what they did, but it does feel very much to me the way it feels to you. I'm feeling the same way you're feeling, and I'm wondering who else is watching this and saying, I don't want this to diminish how I feel about Lamar or the Ravens or football or whatever, but for crying out loud, like, stop. You know what I mean? Do it the right way or don't do it at all.
Well, that, right. So my comment there is, and I take this easy high road a lot. On some level, humans are inherently lazy. And to me, this is like business lazy, right? So that person's behavior doesn't affect me. It affected the people that he hurt, right? But it doesn't affect me. And he's really good at this one thing. So the lazy, insensitive position is to keep going with that person, even though you know that these problems are there. The more difficult, make the tough decisions, have some courage position is that, nope, we're not going to tolerate that. And we're going to figure out a way to make the NFL great with only people who adhere to this type of conduct and standards that we want to have, right? So lazy, lack of courage, total like systemic, you know, old white guy, issue, like, you know, I don't know, but these problems happen multiple times a year, right? Some more sensationalized than others. All we ever really hear about are the players, right? Because I guess they're disposable, maybe. That's the, you know, there's another crop that's about to fall.
Well, that was, you know, all of Bob McNair, so, the late, great Bob McNair, who was actually on my show once. You know, the inmates run the asylum. And I mean, I think at one point, you know, Benson or one of those guys had some, like, you know, farm ref, crazy stuff, you know, Marge Schottie kind of weird old school stuff that they said publicly. That is one of the reasons these PR guys try to keep Steve Bisciotti away from a microphone, because he's too honest to be safe for his own good. You know, and Steve's been fantastic when he's met with, I mean, I don't think Steve's ever said anything out of context in any way, but every single word he says is dissected. And now that he hasn't said a word in 2 years, and the only time we hear from him is when there's a well-produced United Way kind of, you know, piece put in front. And that's very, very unfortunate. And it dehumanizes every aspect of it for people like you and I that remember when it was was Baltimore's team. You know what I mean? And that's what it was about. And you want your leader to have some modicum of respect for all of that. Look, I had Billick on the show this week, right? You know, and I talked to him about it, because we had fun about this. You want to go check it out at Baltimore Positive. But I told him the Super Bowl 35 picture is on the wall next to the media bathroom. And he said, that's where we've been relegated. I'm like, every guy goes to the bathroom a couple times a night. It's kind of like a shrine. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's a place we actually see. Yeah, you know, the one who all the trophies around the corner down the hall, nobody looks at that. You know, if you're in line to get in the bathroom, you got to look at you and James Trapp standing there next to young Marvin. And I looked at him and Marvin and Mike Smith and Jack Del Rio and Rex Ryan. And I have tremendous political differences with at least three of those five people. And I'll let you do the math. Like, literally know them, like some of them, like brothers and family, some of them a little more high goodbye at this point. But I'd say this, I'd be really, really shocked. And Rex is off the wall and, you know, can be out there, but I never felt any, you know, racial hate or personal, like anything like that. And I looked at these five men that coached in the league who I know personally and think there's just, you know, Marvin, Brian, Mike, these were some of the best people I've ever known. Right. Literally. Right. I mean, like, and my wife would tell you, my wife would be like, you know, of all the people you ever met, why is it these people? And I'm like, I don't know. There was a tree there of leadership that said, that's unacceptable. And the fact that Shad Khan's putting up with this in Jacksonville, like, and the fact that the owners were so pissed at Mark Davis that Mark Davis had to go in there and fire his Fredo. You know what I mean? Like, it was like the league, if you read everything about it, forced them to do that. That's, I mean, well, these are two of the 32 franchises, and you're scratching your head. And I'm looking at these other guys and saying, Marvin's out of work. You know, like, these great people are out there. There are better candidates out there.
Yeah, but that's his choice, I would assume, not there.
Not out of work, but not, he can't get a head coach. Right. You know, that position he's had for 20 years was given to someone who's doing this. I guess that's my point. It's not about Marvin. It's about 100 guys that are qualified for that job. Yeah.
Right. I guess part of my question is, and maybe this is me believing in the universe too much, but, like, if you're a leader of men and you're around them every day for 10, 12, 11, probably 11 months out of the year, like, don't people figure this out? Right? Like, don't you think it's really hard for genuinely hateful people to hide that, and for the people around them to not pick up on it or not have the gut feeling? Like, do you really think that works? That they're just fakes for so long, and that they're hiding all this hate for these people, and, like, one day, oh, look, it turns out he hates everyone. And it's like, well, wait a second. Like, none of you all that interacted with him for all these years, nobody thought that was a thing? Nobody, that wasn't an issue for anybody?
I think the word hate has, like, in my vocabulary, You know, I could say I hate doing laundry, or I hate the, you know, like, I don't use that word. And that's a Tony Robbins thing about, you know, your vocabulary, you know, be careful the words you choose. I've really, like, war is another word, you know, that I've really tried to tone down, you know.
The hate is the question that I'm asking, right? So he Gruden wrote bad emails, right? That people are unwilling to tolerate, that people shouldn't tolerate. My question is, how do we determine whether he's a moron, right? Playing into an environment that accepts that language and that talk, or whether the guy
locker room talk.
Yeah, or whether
that's what I called it with Billick the other day. Locker room
true talk. True hate in his heart. You know? And whether there's a third
lane. Well, enough to believe a gay man, you know, shouldn't be in the NFL, that he was actually coaching, right?
Is there a third lane that says it's not hatred, right? Like, hate is too harsh of a word. It's this unwilling to accept people for who they are. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference.
Okay.
Between
I can agree with all of that, but, you know, yeah. I haven't been the person hated upon, right? So I'm not in a position to judge at that point.
These are questions, right? These are questions about what is going on there. Because to your point, it's not just Gruden. You don't write emails.
And I want to clarify that, like, when I say witch hunt, I just mean, like, he's now been singled out. We don't know where these things went. They're saying, well, that's all we're doing. That's all the information we're going to give you. And I'm like, that's really unacceptable in a lot of ways. And it's really unfair to Carl Nassib, who has to sit in his locker now and hear, did you think, John, you know, and every African-American and every woman that works in the business and every woman that ever worked with him and every Mike Tirico and every Susie Culber that has to come out and say something. Well, I never felt that way, or I never, you know, saw that, or, you know, after the axe murders, after OJ, people say, I didn't know that OJ was, you know, okay, you know, whatever.
Well, I love that guy, Naked Gun.
Yeah, exactly. So Bill Cole's here. I'm holding the coffee. Dude, you're onward and upward for some brotherly love. I wish you a great week. I'm sorry we've been ships in the night. I like getting together with you and talking about leadership and stuff, and you allow me to be appropriately angry.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just going to keep going to bed, and we're just going to keep winning, and then I'll stay up for the Super Bowl. How's that?
Bill Cole, he'll be taking a nap around 2:15 on Sunday this week. So put your phone on a vibrator, on silent or airplane mode. DVR and games, dude. Yeah, I'll leave you with this.
I didn't say I taped it, because I say that all the time to my kids, and they're like, taped it? What the hell does that mean?
So this is my mother, right? I just want to honor her. It's my birthday this week. Because I haven't never told this story. Back in the 80s, my son was little. He went to elementary school. By the way, we're cutting the cord on Colgate. Colgate ribbon cutting. Johnny O hit me next week. I'm so excited about it. I'm going to be there for the ribbon cutting, and I'm like, I'm going to cry. So before I cry, my mother. you're going to make me laugh on this one. I'll start the next segment with this. All right. Cause you got to go. Cause this will lead me down a bad path. I'll tell my mother's story on the internet, cause it is funny. He is Bill Cole. I am Nestor. It's all brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Chickapalooza was last month. I'm wearing the gear because I kind of like it. It makes people laugh, and they don't have gear for me. Maybe they do. Maybe they have some holiday gear. I'm going to ask my friends at Rofo. Todd Schuller apparently wants one of these, so I got to get him one. Talk to my friends over at Royal Farms. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop telling stories about my mom. I promise I'll tell the story, but it's too long to tell right now. Bye.